Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall, with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city, and its gates, and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with a rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its walls 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21. I'm calling this particular lesson, God's Memorial, New Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that we might gain from our look into it. And we pray, Father, that we might be drawn closer to you as we contemplate your grace.
Bless us to that end, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God's memorial, the New Jerusalem. I'm laying before you this thesis, I guess you'd call it, that the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ and the glory of God, is an everlasting monument to the grace of our God. One of the main purposes of our study in the book of Revelation is for us to see, at least a little better, the glories of our God. And if we come away from this study with a better view of the grace and the glory of God, I am grateful. I think we've accomplished our purpose. And so as we look at this particular text this morning in what I am calling the last section of the book of Revelation, chapters 20, 21, and 22, we get a glimpse of glory which is to come, the New Jerusalem. Let's begin with our text in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. New Jerusalem is the dwelling place of God. And we see in this first section in chapter 21 that this New Jerusalem is indeed the fulfillment of the covenant of grace. What a tremendous vision is set before us. A new heaven and a new earth. I think the word new here means not completely different, but new in the fact that there is a new spirituality, a new view, a new understanding. We have a new covenant in which we participate. It is the old covenant of grace introduced in the Garden of Eden, but it is newly given to us in its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. We are given new birth. That is spiritual birth. And we are going to be introduced to a new heaven and new earth, which is a spiritual reality far beyond our comprehension because we are people confined so much to this earthly sphere, this temporal sphere, this physical sphere. And we are going to be given new bodies, that is, spiritual bodies fit for this new realm, this spiritual realm characterized as the new heaven and the new earth. This present reality is going to pass away completely. And as I've said before, I'm fascinated by the very end of verse 21. And there is no longer any sea. I'd like to spend a long time talking about that particular aspect of the verse, but you know, those of you who have been with us, that the sea in the book of Revelation is symbolic of the sea of nations, the tumult of peoples in this world. And because there is no longer going to be a pagan world, in the introduction of the new heaven and new earth, there is no longer going to be any sea. That is, there is no longer going to be a sea of nations out there representing a pagan people. That's no longer going to be existent in the new heavens and the new earth. And verse 2 again says, And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. One of the fascinating things about this text is that we are even now experiencing the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. The New Jerusalem is the church of God. And the New Jerusalem has been, in a sense, descending from heaven, that is, coming from God as the church of Jesus Christ lo, these many centuries has been being built in this world. You know, that's a fascinating concept. I really think it is. And I'm glad that we are part of the city of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And there is going to be a consummation which comes. The bride of Jesus Christ, the church, is being made ready for the wedding feast of the Lamb, as we have seen it in prior lessons. And this is exactly what verse 2 says. Verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them." What a wonderful thing this is. The tabernacle of God is among men. When Jesus Christ came into the world, it was said of Him that the Word became flesh and tabernacle dwelt among us. And it's the same concept which is being given to us in Revelation 21:3. The church of Jesus Christ is the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That is the fact presently. And the bride of Jesus Christ is being prepared for that consummation which is to come when Jesus Christ comes a second time in glory. We are that church. We are that people. And the covenant promise of God of old, you can look back in your Bibles if you want to, in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 12, where the promise is given, "I will be your God and you shall be my people." That was the promise given to Israel. The covenant promise of God. And it's a fascinating study to trace that covenant promise through Scripture. Jesus Christ is the epitome of that promise and the epitome of the fulfillment of that promise as He dwells with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And the consummation again will come when the New Jerusalem is fully prepared, and Christ comes a second time in glory. And we will be with Him in that consummate state of splendor and paradise. Verse 4 therefore says, "And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And we say again, hallelujah. That's the refrain in Revelation, taken from the Psalter. And there will be no more going to the pharmacy. And there will be no more listening to the siren of the ambulance. And there will be no more walkers or wheelchairs. None of that. It will all be gone. Because the first things have passed away. And because we are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, this is what we can anticipate gladly. Verse 5, "And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And again, that great antithesis is set before us, the difference between life and death. Those who thirst may come freely and drink of the waters of life. And of course, that's a reference to coming to Jesus Christ and drinking of the springs of living water. Do you know Jesus? And do you love Jesus Christ? And do you hunger and thirst to drink from those living waters? We're going to see in Revelation 22 how that promise is expanded in the glory to come. But again, there's a sense in which we drink of those living waters now, and we have the anticipation of a greater and much fuller reality, which is to come. But there is the other side, isn't there? The cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murdering and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those who are outside of Christ face judgment. Let's go on in our text. New Jerusalem is the bride, the consummate church of both the Old and New Testaments, verses 9 and following. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come up here. I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. You see, we go back to that theme now of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And one of those angels whom we saw earlier, the seven angels having the seven last plagues, comes to John and he says, "Come up here, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Previously, one of those seven angels said to him, "Come here, and I will show you something else. Babylon, and the judgment of Babylon." You see, there are always these two sides which are presented in the book of Revelation. The judgments of God and the mercies of God. Earlier we saw the judgments of Babylon, and one of those seven angels came and said to John, "Come," and John was taken in the Spirit into the wilderness. And the wilderness is a picture of this life, the life that we have now in this world before the coming of Christ. And in that wilderness, John saw the judgment of the harlot Babylon and all of those who follow that harlot. Now there's another story to be told. "Come here," the angel says, "and I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. You know, this is again, folks, a picture, a symbol, a picture of reality. We ask the question, what in the world is the high mountain here? Well, simply it is a spiritual perspective that is given to John, where John can see this holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. And of course, it is only from heaven that new life comes. It is only from heaven that the church of Jesus Christ is born. It is only from heaven that we receive new life. And it is only from heaven that the church of Jesus Christ can be formed. And this glorious city coming down out of heaven from God is described as having, in verse 11, the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. And there were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones on them, and they were the 12 names, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles. I'm very much fascinated by this description because I think that what this description tells us is that this city, New Jerusalem, is a fulfillment of both the Old Testament church of God, Israel, and the New Testament church of God. And we see this is the case because we have these 12 gates and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, and we have these 12 foundation stones and the 12 names of the 12 apostles written on these foundation stones. You know, we'd almost say that the book of Revelation has it backwards here, because it was really the Old Testament church that came first, right? And it was the New Testament church that came later. But we understand that it was upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. It was on that foundation that the church of Jesus Christ was built. And we see this church, this body of Christ, this bride, is both the Old Testament people of God and the New Testament people of God. Away with this bifurcation that is so prevalent in evangelical Christianity today, that there is one plan for the Old Testament people of God and another plan for the New Testament people of God. They are together as the glorious bride of Jesus Christ. And we know this is the case because Abraham was saved exactly like we are. He believed the promises of God. He believed in the Savior who was to come. And we have the privilege of believing and trusting in the Savior who has come. And so this New Jerusalem is the bride of Jesus Christ, the consummate church of both Old and New Testaments. This New Jerusalem is also the city four square, the fulfillment of both Old Testament tabernacle and temple. Let's read on, verse 15. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is now measured. We saw the city of God being measured earlier in chapter 11. And you recall that we said the measuring rod, the measuring stick, was the Word of God. Now we see that this measure is a golden measure. And the city is being measured. Verse 16, and the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles, its length and its width and height are equal. 12,000 stadia is the original language. It's too bad that the modern translations don't reflect the original language here, because we have that number 12 again. And I just think that number 12 is terribly important. It's 12,000 stadia on a side, 1,500 miles. This is a great city. This is a large city. These numbers are symbolic. This is the city of God, the number 12 reflecting the church of God. 12 foundation stones, 12 gates, 12,000 stadia. Its length and its breadth are the same. In the Old Testament tabernacle, the Holy of Holies was square. In fact, it was a cube, and we see that reflected in our text. The altar of burnt offering was square. The altar of incense was also square. The ancient people saw in that figure a symbol of perfection. And so the city is the city four square. Verse 17, and he measured its wall 72 yards. There we go again in that modern translation. 72 yards. It is 144 cubits, 12 squared. That's the number 12 again. That's very interesting. Here is this cubical city, and that's a picture, folks. It's not literally that way. You understand that that's the case, don't you? It's a picture of reality, not reality itself. It's a perfect cube reflecting the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. And there's a wall around the city, which is 144 cubits. The wall around the city of God, the church of God, that number 12 again, I emphasize it. And in comparison, the wall is very small in compared to the vastness and greatness of the city, reflecting the fact that it is easy for individuals to enter that city, easy through Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. And he measured its walls 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. I think simply the text is telling us here that from the heavenly perspective and from our perspective in this world, it looks the same. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. All of those things that we count precious in this life are simply the building blocks of a city in heaven. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. What glory and splendor is present. This city, New Jerusalem, is the fulfillment of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, it seems to me. And New Jerusalem is the light and the glory of God. Verse 22 and following. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory to it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations to it. There's no need of light there. Why does the sun exist today? Well, you'll say, to give us light in this world. We couldn't live without it. Correct. But it's a picture of the fact that we cannot really live without the light of God in our lives. And that sun, when it has finally fulfilled its purpose, is no longer needed in the New Jerusalem, because we live by the light and the glory of God. What a beautiful picture that is. You know, I'm more and more convinced that if we would see the things in our world today in the light of eternity, just like the sun is a picture of the light of God, we'd be much better off in our world today. I really think that's part of our problem. I really think we'd have far less violence and hatred and grief if that were the case. In the New Jerusalem, in the city of God. There is no violence or hatred or strife, because all the nations walk by the light of God. Doesn't John tell us, if you walk by the light as He is in the light, that is Jesus, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all of your sins. In the New Jerusalem, we're going to see that that's a reality far beyond our short-sighted vision today. We should live more fully by it, to be sure. But the greatness of the glory of God, which is to come, far surpasses anything we can comprehend. Let's read again. And I saw, verse 22, and I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory to it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations to it. In Old Jerusalem, in the daytime, the gates were opened so that people could come and go freely, and that commerce could be carried on. And then at night, the city gates were closed. And the wall in that Jerusalem was a wall designed for defenses and protection. The wall around the New Jerusalem is unlike that ancient wall, because the gates will always be open and people may freely come and go. A reflection of the fact that Jesus said in this world that those who come to Him and know Him and are His sheep will freely come and go from the sheepfold and find pasture. How good it is. New Jerusalem is a fulfillment of that. But notice how the passage ends once again. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here is this marvelous city to which we are pointed through faith in Jesus Christ. And it will be a city in which all the residents have their names enrolled in a book called the Book of Life. And no one will be able to enter that city whose names are not written in that Book of Life, because there is another destiny for those whose names are not written in the Book of Life. And that destiny is a destiny of eternal torment and hell. There it is again, folks. There it is again. And as we understand this better, our joy in New Jerusalem ought to increase. God grant that we may understand, as I have in this final point, that as the lake of fire is a monument to God's justice, the New Jerusalem is an everlasting monument to God's grace. I'd like you to turn in the Old Testament, if you would, to the book of Isaiah once again, to the final chapter of Isaiah, where this new heaven and new earth are mentioned. Isaiah chapter 66, the very end of the chapter, verse 22, which says, For just as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, will endure before me, declares the Lord, so your offspring and your name will endure forever. The names of God's people enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life will endure forever. And the people of God will endure forever in ineffable bliss in the glories of heaven. Hallelujah. Verse 24 in Isaiah chapter 66, then they, that is, those in heaven, shall go forth and look on the corpses of the men who have transgressed me against me, for their worm shall not die, and their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all mankind. The smoke of their burning shall rise forever and ever, as the book of Revelation says. And the people of heaven will understand in an infinitely greater way the work of Jesus Christ and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And they will worship before the Lamb and say to Him, glory and power and honor and greatness be to the Lamb forever and ever. Hallelujah. God grant that we may understand this vision just a little bit better, folks, and understand the greatness of our God and the greatness of the salvation which He has been pleased to give us. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, help us, O God, help us to see the verities of Scripture which are set before us, of life and of death, of light and of darkness. Help us to get a glimpse of that new Jerusalem coming down even now from heaven, preparing for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And help us, Father, to understand your justices and judgments. And help us to see in this light the great work of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your souls. Thank you, Father, that that rest comes in a great and magnificent and infinite way, in the rest of heaven and in the rest of the New Jerusalem. Bless us with that understanding, we pray. Help us to pant after the living waters as the hart pants after the water brooks. May we seek your face and may we yearn for you, O God. Grant it, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.